And it's hard to be the best version of yourself if you're holding on to something that's unhealthy. It's hard to be the best version of yourself when you haven't acknowledged all of yourself. And although it didn't take the grief away, it did help them in that moment. It's about what is something healthy that I can do in this present moment to make it through. And for some people, it's writing that person a letter. That's an excerpt from the show. Today, we'll be discussing absent grief. And here's the intro.
Welcome to Managing My Grief, where it's all about learning to live with grief after experiencing loss. Here's your host, Miss Dilworth.
I'm glad you chose to join me for this discussion on absent grief. At the end of the show, I'll have a So What To Do section where I'll share ideas and strategies you can use to work through absent grief. So, what's absent grief? As I was doing my research, I came upon Jennifer Cope's definition, and I loved what she wrote. She wrote, absent grief refers to a prolonged state of denial when a person cannot even acknowledge a loss. It can also describe an unusually long period in which a person reacts as if nothing has changed, even if they can acknowledge a loss intellectually. To get a better understanding of absent grief, I'm going to share my experience. My paternal grandma and I were the best of friends. She grew up in Arkansas, and she was a kind of woman that would give you the shirt off her back. She grew up in the time where if you needed a cup of sugar, you'd go to your neighbor's house and ask for a cup of sugar, and they would give it to you. So nowadays, if somebody comes to our house, the first thing we're wondering is, what do they want? And some people might not even answer the door. Some people will be really short with the person. But for her, it was all about loving your neighbor and being there for your neighbor when they needed support. Someone can come by and visit, and the first two things she would ask, are you hungry? Do you want something to drink? And if they said, yeah, I could definitely use something to drink and I'm hungry, she would go in the kitchen and she would get them something to drink and she would cook for them. But that's the kind of world she grew up in. That's how she treated people, with love, with kindness. She was my adventurous person. She was a person that I knew if I wanted to take a road trip somewhere, she would be game to go. Just take a step back. Being born and raised in Arkansas, that's pretty much what she knew. And then when my grandfather passed away, she ended up moving to Georgia to live with my aunts and uncles. I remember one year she came and visited me in college. Her and I decided to take a road trip to Dodge City, Kansas. So you have to understand our relationship. Her and I loved Westerns. We could sit for hours and hours watching story after story, whether it was Bonanza, The Big Valley, something fun that we did together. It was how we had a deep connection, was talking about Westerns. So for us to go to Dodge City was a huge adventure for us. We went there and we went, of course, to Boot Hill. And for those of you who know Westerns, you know what a big deal Boot Hill is. It was just awesome to be able to explore and to just be adventurous with her. Later on, we decided to take another road trip. This time it was from Atlanta, Georgia, up to Michigan. And it was her, I, and my uncle on this trip. It was an amazing trip. We had a great time, good laughs. I remember on our way up there, all of us were talking, and then my grandma stopped talking. I didn't notice it at first, and my uncle and I were just kind of going back and forth, laughing about different things. My uncle said, you know, she's been quiet. What is she doing in the backseat? I turn around and check on her, and there are chocolate wrappers all over the backseat. She had eaten over a half a bag of chocolate. And I said, Grandma, you know you can't eat that much chocolate. Without hesitation, she goes, I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever I want. And that's the kind of person she was. If she wanted to do something, she would do it. If she wanted to go somewhere, she would do it. That's something that I love so much about her. That's something that I definitely take away from my interactions with her, was that she was a loving person who would give anything to anyone who needed help. And yet she had healthy boundaries to recognize, I'm a grown person. I can do whatever I want to do. When I got that phone call a few years ago that she had passed away, it didn't register with me. Actually, still to this day, I don't even remember the phone call. When I got the phone call about my maternal grandmother passing away, I remember that phone call. When I got the phone call about my paternal granddad passing away, I remember that phone call. But still to this day, I cannot remember getting that phone call that she passed away. Because I don't remember that phone call, my guess is when I received that information, went in one ear and out the other. Fast forward a few days, we're talking about the funeral, and I initially wasn't planning on going to the funeral. By me going to the funeral, it was as if I had to acknowledge that she was no longer here. And I wasn't ready for that. Word got out to family that I was not planning on going. People started calling me, texting me, sending me messages. You're not going to the funeral? You have to go to the funeral. My grandma's sister had someone call me and said, of all people, you're the one who definitely needs to be at the funeral. After hearing her say that, I was like, okay, fine. I'll go to the funeral. And it was interesting because when I went to the funeral, I didn't feel anything. The days leading up to the funeral, I was going about my business, going to work, doing what I needed to do. It hadn't fully registered that she had passed away. I go to the funeral and it still hadn't registered. The only time I felt something was towards the end of the service. One of my cousins had gone up to the front and he broke down. When he broke down is when I felt sadness. I felt hurt. And it wasn't sadness and hurt because my grandma passed away. It was sadness and hurt because I saw my cousin hurting and I wanted to comfort him. I wanted to be there for him. I didn't want my cousin to hurt. And so I walked up to the front to him, myself, him, and a few other cousins. We walked out together and I comforted my cousin. It wasn't about I miss my grandma. I feel sad that she's gone. It was about I'm hurting because my cousin is hurting and I don't want to see my cousin hurt. Throughout the day, it still hadn't fully registered. So I'm walking around smiling. I genuinely was happy to interact with people and see people and say hi and check in on people and talk about what's going on in our lives. I was genuinely happy and enjoying myself. But the reason for me being there was for her funeral. That had not registered with me. So I fly back to DC and I go back to living life. I go to work. I interact with the people I need to interact with. And it was as if it never happened. Those moments where I wanted to call her, I would tell myself, she's probably busy right now. So I won't give her a call. So I would give excuses to make sure I didn't have to acknowledge that she wasn't here anymore. One thing I've noticed is when it comes to my grandma, I don't have a timeline. I, to this day, cannot tell you when she passed away. I know she's passed away within the past 5 years, but beyond that, I have no idea. And I do that intentionally because if I put a date to when they passed away, then it is in concrete that they are not here. When it came to accepting that my grandma's not here, it was a challenge. The thing about absent grief, because we were able to go on with our life as if nothing happened, the only way for us to work through that grief is if we have to intentionally acknowledge it. Or we get to a point and it starts manifesting. It starts coming out. And that's what happened with me. I'm not for sure how long after her funeral, but one day I was driving and it hit me. She's not here anymore. I just started crying. And so I had a couple of thoughts. I was like, you can't keep crying, Tiffany, because you might get in a car accident. But at the same time, the tears just kept coming. They just kept coming. They just kept coming. And I couldn't make them stop. And I was like, no, she is still here. She's in Georgia. And my mind just went back and forth. Stop crying. You don't want to get in a car accident. She is here. She's in Georgia. No, she's not here. She is here. She's not here. And so I called my dad. My dad is my biggest resource in helping me work through things. And so I call him up, I'm crying, and he's like, what's wrong? The only thing I can get out was, she's not here, is she? And he immediately knew who I was talking about. And he said, no, Tiffany, she's not here anymore. That was the first time I actually acknowledged that my grandma had passed away. Fast forwarding to a few months, I went through different stages of grief. Later on in the show, we'll talk more about the stages of grief. Some people have a misconception of it. You go through this stage and that stage and that stage. It's non-linear. There's no specific order. It's different for everybody. So for example, in my experience with my paternal grandmother, I went from disbelief to acceptance, then disbelief, then acceptance, then disbelief, then acceptance, then sad. For me, it was a mixture of things. And even now to this day, I would say I'm probably 40% in disbelief, 40% in acceptance, and about 20% feeling sad. So I go between those three on a continual basis. When it comes to acceptance, there are some moments when I'm able to acknowledge and truly accept that she is no longer here. Then there are other moments where I feel sad. And the way I work through that sadness is I go back to disbelief of, you know what, why am I feeling sad? She's in Georgia living her life. Or I think about where she's at. I'm a firm believer in heaven. When I'm feeling sad, there are times where I'll say, God, give her a hug for me. Tell her I love her or let her know that I miss her. And that in itself brings me comfort. So what to do? Going back to something I had mentioned earlier was because absent grief allows you to be able to function, in order for us to process that person that we lost, we have to do it intentionally. It's not something that just happens. We have to intentionally slow down and process it because there is no manifestation. There are no signs. There's no crying. There's no sadness. It's as if it never happened. And the person is still present. The person is still here. The person is still existing. So we have to intentionally set aside time to process, to acknowledge that loss. Otherwise, it'll manifest somehow. And for me, it was manifesting when I was driving down the road. It just popped up out of nowhere. One of the things I've learned is to acknowledge my feelings when they arise. So when I'm feeling sad, I acknowledge it. When I'm missing her, I acknowledge it. Another thing that works for some people is writing a letter. It doesn't work well for me, but I have had clients and friends who've shared with me how when they were missing their loved one, they wrote them a letter. And although it didn't take the grief away, it did help them in that moment. And that's what it's all about. It's not about us figuring out, oh, this one thing works and I never feel grief again. It's about what is something healthy that I can do in this present moment to make it through. And for some people, it's writing that person a letter because it helps you to acknowledge that they are no longer here while working through those feelings and those thoughts. Another thing you can do is think about past memories. As I'm going through these different things that you can do, keep in mind that different things work well for different people. So for example, past memories, that is something that works well for me. When I think about the many adventures that my grandma and I had, the trips, the talks, the interactions that we had, the example that she set for me, it brings me joy. I feel so thankful to have had the opportunity and the years to spend with her. I'm so grateful for the lessons that she's taught me through her life. While for other people, it may bring sadness because they realize that they can no longer have those interactions. And every once in a while, it does bring me sadness. If I think about how I'll never be able to go on a road trip with her again, how we won't be able to wake up one morning and say, hey, what do you want to do today? We just decide in that moment what kind of adventure we're going to take. I won't be able to have those moments with her anymore. And that does make me sad. But I try not to focus on that and instead focus on what we did do together and how much fun we had. And those are memories that I hope will always stay with me. And so it's about you figuring out those healthy things that work for you, because that's the key component, the healthy things that work for you. And when those memories pop up of us doing those diverse things, and when the sadness comes up, I acknowledge that sadness. I acknowledge the fact that I miss her and I'm sad sometimes. And that's okay. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to miss those loved ones. It's natural. It's all a part of life. The last thing I'll share are for those who are experiencing absent grief, it pops up out of nowhere, and it's a challenge for you to manage and control those feelings. If you need further support, please seek it out. It's out there. Go to Psychology Today, type in your zip code, type in grief, and find a therapist that you can trust, that you can go to, that you can confide in, and get support. Because at the end of the day, it's all about you being the best version of yourself. And it's hard to be the best version of yourself if you're holding on to something that's unhealthy. It's hard to be the best version of yourself when you haven't acknowledged all of yourself. And that relationship that I had with my grandma, I had to acknowledge. I had this relationship and now it's broken because she's no longer here. That's hard to do. So if you need support, that's okay. Go get support. To connect with me, to share your thoughts, or to provide suggestions for a future show, contact me at missdilworth.com. To learn more about grief, click on another show. To attend a grief workshop, go to managingmygrief.net. Have a productive day and live in your greatness.